Hey, I'm actually going to, as you give, I'm actually going to go ahead and get straight into the word. I just feel a desire to go ahead and do that. Feel the need to go ahead and do that. So I'm going to have you, after you give, I'm going to have you go ahead and turn to, go ahead and stand. I'm going to actually have you go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Before I do that, I am going to read from Ephesians chapter 6 really quick. Something different today. I'm not going in order. So I know the order right now would be for me to go into the shoes of peace. There's a lot there, the shoes, the preparation of peace, the gospel. And kids, you are, if you hadn't figured it out, you're dismissed right now to go back home to kids' church. I'm going to read verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6 really quick. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Yes, Lord. I'm going to run to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read that out really quick. And I'm going to teach from both places today. Is that all right? If I jump around the Bible a little bit. All right. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall. Hold on just a minute. I'm gonna let the giving wrap up really quick, and then I'll read that again because I don't want anybody to miss this. I know that we had a couple people that's still giving. I don't want you to miss out on your opportunity to give. Worship through giving. Let's read that again. Let's go back. Yep. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Everybody good? Yes. Yep. In the back, we're good? We're good back there? Yep. Nobody giving me a thumbs up. There we go. All right, here we go. That day, when evening came, he, being Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who this?" New phone, who this? No, I'm just kidding. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Man, God, make this easy to preach today. Let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts. Have your way in the house today, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Sit down. Look at your neighbor. Say, "Who this?" Okay. I want to read out our church declaration. We got that. You got that ready? Let's do it, y'all. I am loved by God. Come on, say it with me. I am loved by God, and I have a purpose. Lord, help me today to discover my purpose or develop in my purpose in order to become all that you desire for me to become. So we got into the breastplate of righteousness last week, right? We remember that it was faith righteousness, right? Faith righteousness. So I felt like the Lord was leading me in the direction to just go ahead and talk about faith. I think the worst statement was what he made. Why you got such little faith? Right? Why do you have such little faith? Why? It's a question that lets me understand it's something that we're not supposed to have a little bit of. Or God would not ask us, Jesus would not have said, why? Right? So when we walk through this text, I wanted to go to, when we were talking about faith, I felt like this story was an incredible opportunity because Jesus really, really teaches us a lot about faith. Now, for me, growing up, I always looked at faith as something that was just belief, right? But the Bible is very specific that belief and faith are different. Faith has aspects of belief, but it's not fully, it's not direct translated the same. It might be a little bit of a synonym, but it's not the same. And I want to make sure we understand that today because most of us have a little bit of faith, but not a lot of faith, and there ain't no excuse for it. No, I didn't like that. There's no excuse for you and I to have just a little bit of faith, right? Now, I talked about this a little bit last week. When we're talking about the shield of faith, it's a piece of the armor, but it's called the armor of what? No, armor of God. Count on my dad. Come on, Pops, get with it. What is it? The armor of whose armor is it? Who does it belong to? Anytime something is of something, that means it belongs to that person. Right? The church of God. It means it belongs to God. That's why I get a little bit, I think it was probably the most ignorant thing that I ever said and I ever thought was before was that this is my church or your church or our church. It's not our church, it's his church. And that's why I think sometimes when I watch some people make decisions and I watch the way that churches go, I think it's because they make certain decisions because they think it's their church. Like it belongs to them. This church ain't your church, it ain't my church, it's his church. So when we make a decision, every decision we make has to be based on, is this inside the will of God? That's why I don't apologize for the decisions I make because I don't do anything without prayer and without backing it up with Bible. Because the moment you start to do that, it becomes about you and not about him. If we're really truly going to be a spirit-led church rather than a fleshly-led church, we can't rely on flesh, we have to rely on spirit. We have to rely on the king. Because the king gives orders and we have to follow those things. So when we're taking up the shield of faith, we have to remember this is not our armor. We cannot generate faith. We cannot create faith. Faith is not something that we can muster up from the insides of our depths of our souls. That is not what we do. That is not what faith is. Faith, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Let's go to Romans 12, 3. I got some Bible. You got it. You have Romans 12, 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Distribution means something's being given. It's being imparted. Now, distribution, a lot of times you've got to pay for distribution too, which Jesus already did that when he did it on the cross, which means that Jesus, the Bible also says, I'm not exactly sure. Hold on just a second. I'll track in my brain. It says, we overcome the world by faith. Let's go. I got, before I get really excited, let's go. I was about to start getting into something that's supposed to be later in the message. So, faith is something that is given, okay? You and I have to be given faith. Faith is something that is not just within us that we can muster up. Faith is through Jesus, okay? It comes through Jesus, so you and I have faith inside of us only because of who Jesus is, okay? But then the distribution of faith, he can give more or less. But he doesn't desire to. He tries to give more. He wants us to have a ton of faith. That's why he said, why do you have a little bit of it? Okay? So, first of all, I will get into this really quick. I heard a lot of people say this. I've heard a lot of people over the course of time say that the shield, or say that every other part of the armor, every part of the armor is protection except for the sword. But I don't know if y'all have ever watched Captain America. But homie's shield is not just something that protects him. It's something he throws at people, slings at them, knocks about 17 men out of the way in one swipe. And I'm tired of demons coming my way. I'm tired of demons coming after the people of this church. And you and I not understanding that faith, we can literally take that shield. Okay. Nope. Nobody. No. I don't know about you. But if I understand what a shield can do, and I understand that it's based on how large my shield is, what it is based on the amount of faith I have, I want all the faith I can get. Because I'm tired about the demons coming my way and me just having to stand here and do this. No, I'm ready to back some demons up off my case. I'm ready to get them out of the way. I'm ready to make them literally, as they start running, take the shield off and start throwing them at the heads and cut them off. The shield is also a weapon if you understand how to use it. You and I can literally scare stuff out of our lives using and understanding what faith is, okay? So, let's walk through it. Jamie, calm down. I'm trying to get better about the teaching side of me as I get real excited and I just want to jump ahead and I want to really preach. I don't know, maybe that's just not who I am. All right, let's go back to the section of scripture in Mark. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 40. I want to read that again, okay? Because this is the focus of the entire text, okay? Mark chapter 4, verse 40, said, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, let's go read some more Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, okay? Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes, because we need to know how to get faith, right? We know how to have, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ, okay? Faith comes through hearing by the word of God. That's what we quoted all the time growing up. Y'all know that scripture? Okay. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes through Christ. So if you and I don't take Christ, and what the Bible says is also we clothe ourselves in Christ. We make sure that we fill ourselves with him. If we don't have more of him in us and we continue to rely on the fleshly side of us, then the faith that God wants to impart to us will be completely rejected. See, the issue with most of us is that Jesus is giving out faith all the time. He's given us opportunities to accept who he is. But the only way that you have something that is given is if you accept that in return. See, that's the problem is a lot of times, sometimes we'll get gifts given to us and we'll say, oh, that's so sweet. And then we put it down on the side and we walk away from it rather than taking it and accepting it as our own. And we never truly accept it because we're like, yeah, I don't need that. They're like, you got me some undershirts? You just got me some t-shirts. I got like 12 of them. I don't need them. You ever been there before? You ever have somebody get you something and you're like, I don't need that. I got 17 candles in my house. And you bought me another one for Christmas. Thank you. But I don't need it. So I'm going to put it back here in the closet and re-gift it to somebody else. There was a joke in my family. My uncle kept trying to give away a shirt that my granddad would give him every year. And he would re-gift it to him every single year. He would find out. He went one year when he didn't want it and tried to give it back. He went and bought like 7 shirts of the same thing. And 7 straight years, he gave him the same shirt from the same store because my uncle didn't want it. Now, but for some reason, I feel like you and I do the same thing with faith. God's like, oh my gosh. He's like, does something for you during the middle of the day. And like, you don't wreck because he made you like stop just in time. Or like maybe you were supposed to drive down that road. And he kind of stalled you a little bit because someone who was talking to you way too much, you were like, I wish you'd let me go. Meanwhile, Jesus is like, hey, keep running your mouth a little bit because I need to hold him up from getting to where he's going to. Sometimes, like, the Lord just, like, lays a $20 bill right in the middle of Walmart. And you're like, man, that's cool. Somebody dropped 20 bucks. What if God dropped it there for you? I mean, there are so many different things throughout our day. But a lot of times what happens is God is always, he's always, there's these little, Priscilla Shire, she talks about these little God winks, right? Like there's all types of things throughout your day where God's like, I got you. Like a little wink, I got you. See, I got you. You know what I'm saying? I got you. I got you. Hey, yo. I got you. But so oftentimes you and I are just like, oh, that's cool. And see, here's the thing is we become so expectant that God's just going to do things for us. But the purpose of him doing things for us is to build our faith. And you and I have come to a place where we just don't even see God in things anymore. Because we've become so expectant that he's just going to do stuff for us. Or that's just how the world works. Oh, the universe was good to me today. Oh, was it? Who else was it good to? The universe. Oh my gosh. Get me started on the universe. How about the guy who hung the stars and the moon in their place? How about the one who put the sun right in the perfect spot where it wouldn't burn us up and it wouldn't make us cold? How about that guy? The universe. Lord Jesus. I want to smack every mouth that says that, if I'm just being honest with you. As Pastor Jamie, I don't even want to give a forehand. I want to give a backhand with my ring side so they can fix their jaw, the universe, big dummy. You know, the reason why I want to slap them in the face is because it's a slap in the face to God. Something inside of me just gets so angry with people who just refuse to believe that God exists, that he's real, that he's out there. And we just take on the language of the world rather than taking on the language of God. Oh, you're talking about the universe? Let me tell you about the God that created it. How about that? How about we start opening up our mouths and talking about the creator when people start talking about all kinds of nonsense? So God does stuff in the midst of your day to build your faith. But you and I have a problem accepting that faith. It's a gift. It's of God. God gives it. You and I must accept it. And so as we walk through the text, I want to walk through the text. Let's go to verse 35, all right? I want you to look at all the places that God is trying to give us faith. And it is up to you and me to accept that. Look at this. That day when evening came, he said, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Jesus is giving the plans. You hear that? He's like, hey, let's go to the other side. When Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. I got these plans for you. Problem is, you and I would prefer to listen to our own plans, what we all got in store, what we want to do, and then when trouble comes our way, even if God sent us somewhere, we're like, hey, what are we doing? Well, I told you back in verse 35, at the beginning of this whole thing, we going to the other side. We got a plan. God's got a plan. Every time God lays a plan out for you, it's so that you build your faith to understand that when trials come your way, when storms come your way, he already has a plan set in place for you. So if you follow the plan, you don't have to worry about the mess. The plans are put in place by God because you and I don't plan very well. I mean, we might do an okay job, but spiritually we don't understand what's coming next. So we need to make sure that we understand the plans of God in our lives so that as we walk through life, you and I understand his plan. So we don't get off course. It builds our faith. But you and I have a problem accepting his plan. How many of you can be real and say that? Sometimes I have a really difficult time saying, God, I get it. I know you want me to be friends with that person, but God, have you heard how much they bump their gums? I know you've called me to forgive that person, but they just keep doing it over and over again. Like, there's so many things in life that he's laid out in his word, okay? Those are for all of us. His plans are for all of us. But then there's specific plans that he gives you and guides you through, and you have to make sure you're prayerful at all times so that you hear him clearly, so that you can follow his plan for your life, so you don't end up getting married to the wrong person because you're impatient. So that you don't take the wrong job because you're impatient. So that you don't leave something that God has clearly placed you in because you're exhausted and you're worn out. If it's his plan, the only way you're going to know it's his plan is by being spiritually discerning of what's going on. The only way you do that is by reading his word, by praying, by fasting, by being spiritually aware, by being in constant communication with him, by walking with him. You will not know his plan for your life if you plan on coming in here on Sunday mornings and making sure Pastor Jamie tells you what God's plan is for your life. You will never understand the fullness of his plan. You have to have that relationship with him. And he's trying to give you faith through every single plan he has for your life. Let's go to the next part. Verse 36 says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. But look at this. This is so cool. I love this verse. There were also other boats with him. I think Jesus knew he was going to have to do something when he went to the other side. So he's like, y'all come on too. Y'all need to see this. Because see, some people can't get faith until they see somebody else receive it. Some people don't want to accept what God has for their life. Accept that healing is possible. They don't want to accept that our God is greater than the science. Isn't it interesting how science just changes constantly? Let me wake y'all up to something. Science is nothing more than an educated guess. It's an educated guess. Some are more educated than others. Sometimes God's will lines up with science. But sometimes, a lot of times, oh, remember, he created it. So he supersedes it. Which means that if he wants to change something, he can. If he wants to heal a broken bone, immediately, he can. If he wants to heal somebody with cancer, immediately, he can.
And if I read my Bible correctly, you and I don't see miracles only because we have not accepted the faith God has given to us. It's the only reason miracles don't happen. Not because you don't believe, not because I don't believe, but because we have not accepted the faith that God has poured out into us. We look at the situation, we say, yeah, that was for them, but it wasn't for me. Why is it not for you? If God did something for someone else, why can't he do it for you? Why does he not want to do it for you? It's not about what you believe, it's about what you accept. Do you actually accept that healing is God's plan for your life? Do you actually accept that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine? Do you actually accept what his word says about your future? That it's a hope, a hopeful future. That is good. That he wants to bless us. Why do you and I not accept it? You want to know why the world is in the position it's in, why the church is in the position it's in, has been for so long? It's because people just won't accept that God is who he says he is. He's like, why do you still have such little faith? So sometimes he just brings the other boats along. I made a decision. I want to be the one that's in the boat with Jesus, not one that's got to watch from the sidelines. I don't want to have to watch from the sidelines. But make sure, if you're watching from the other side, make sure you accept what God's doing. And if you're in the boat with Jesus, make sure you understand he ain't doing this because you're so righteous. He's doing it because he wants to build somebody else's faith. I think for some of us, this might be a little bit of a hard pill to swallow because now, once again, it's not that you and I have tried to muster up faith. See, for so long, a lot of us probably believe, well, I guess we just don't believe enough. That's so sad. I can't believe that thing didn't happen for you. But actually, what it's all about is the problem is that you and I have not accepted what Jesus has for us. We have rejected it.
I didn't expect for this to kind of turn out this way, but you know what? Let's go to verse 37, verse 38. A furious squall came up. I think the word there is a tempest. It means like real intense, almost like a big old water tunnel, like, you know, like almost like a little like tornado in the water or something. Kind of like a hurricane. It's real bad. You ever heard a baby squall? You ever heard a grown man squall? Yeah, it's that bad in the water. That's what's going on here. So something very furious is what the Bible says. Very furious. It's intense. The waves are breaking over. It says so that it was nearly swamped. Swamp means it's full of water. Something gets full of water, it can't float no more. Before I go to the next verse, because these two verses are connected, I came to tell somebody in here today, right now, your boat has been nearly swamped. But it's not fully swamped. Your situation is nearly broken you, but you're here today. Your cancer nearly killed you, but that don't belong to you. That don't belong in the boat. That sickness nearly took you out, but you're here today. And I came to remind some people today that it don't matter how close you get, my God, to being taken out. It don't matter how close you get in your marriage for it to be taken out. It don't matter how close you get where your bank account has completely dried up. Your bank account may look even negative right now, but you serve a God.
where it may have nearly happened to you. You may have almost died. You may have almost been broke. You may have almost might be nearly there, but you have a God that is bringing you out. You may have only seen a glimmer of hope, but today in the house, there's a nearly that some of you have come up against. But right now, faith is rising and the enemy's mad because some of you are starting to get it in your brain. Some of you are starting to accept it in your heart that Jesus came and he came to give me life and life more abundantly. And I will not worship the chaos any longer and not worship my Christ. Jesus was sleeping. He was in the stern sleeping. Now everybody, I've heard a lot of people's opinions on this little section of scripture. When they get scared, like they can be mad at their dad or upset, whatever. But all of a sudden, when they get scared, you're watching, Daddy! 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 Some of you have failed to call on Jesus and accept that he's with you. And we talk about it. Yeah. We accept Jesus into our heart. We know him as our Lord and Savior. But he's up there. He ain't with me. No, it's because he sent the Holy Ghost to be with you. So that you didn't have to walk a single step without God. So that you didn't have to walk through life not having him with you. I don't understand, honestly, how you and I, when we come up against something that is crazy, instead of turning to our storm and looking out everywhere, like, why are we looking at everything that's going wrong in our situation? Why do we pay so much attention to the attacks rather than saying, hey, I know who my God is. He gave me a shield. Now, oh Lord, are a shield for me. And you're with me. Because you said you'd never leave me and you would never forsake me. But for some of us, we keep looking to our storm, trying to talk to the storm, rather than understand who we got in the boat with us. You and I have something that is greater. His name exceeds every other name. It's greater than every other name. Our issue is that we don't accept that he's actually walking with us day by day, step by step, and that at any point in time where we come up against something that is difficult and seems like it's going to overtake us, we don't call on his name. We pay attention to, oh my gosh, he's at me again. What am I going to do? Jesus. What you going to do? Call on Jesus. If he'll never forsake you, that means he doesn't give up on you and he doesn't make sure that you're not going to make it through the storm. Because remember, the plan that he had was, we got to get to the other side because I've got stuff to do over there and I need you to help me do it. We have got to accept that he is walking with us step by step, day by day, minute by minute, every moment of our life. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is never going to leave your side. It just depends on whether or not you are willing to accept that he is with you and you can call on him. He wants you to call on him. You need to call on him. It is everything that you need. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Why in the world, if he owns everything, would we not accept that it's for us too? It is acceptance that he's walking. The problem is that we think we just need to call on him like every once in a while. Because if we'll be real, we don't want to get rid of all the other stuff in our life that we know he wouldn't be okay with while he's walking with us. So we're like, Jesus, will you stay over there while I go do this. Will you stay over there? Turn your head, put it in the corner. I don't want you to have to hear. Cover your ears, Jesus. I don't want you to hear this. I mean, you know how we do with kids? Like, cover your ears. If you need to cover a kid's ears, you probably don't need to talk about it. Probably don't need to be listening to it. Because the more you push Jesus away, he says, I draw near to those who draw near to me. Proximity is power. I don't want to be on another boat having to watch what Jesus is doing. And then also being scared because I didn't want to get into the boat with Jesus that I ain't even got him in there no more. So here I'm over here on a different boat watching from afar. Are we willing to accept it? I'm going to close. Before I get to the last understanding of how you accept it, I want to look at verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, shut up. That's the Jamie International version. Shut up. Chill out. Quiet, be still. How many times has God done something for you? I want you to think right now. How many times God has come through for you? How many times? How many times has he healed you? How many times has he set you free from something? How many times has he delivered you from a situation that if it had not been for what he did for you, you'd be in a heap of mess, potentially even dead? Has he done it once? I know he's done it once for all of us because he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. If he did only that, he's done enough. How many moments in life can you look back on? I want you to think right now of a specific time. I want you to think of one of the most difficult times in your life. And you're like, had it not been for the Lord? And then what I want to do is I want for you to get on your feet. Okay, come on. I want you to think about that thing. And while you're thinking about that thing, I want for you to give God praise for it. Because here's the thing. There's several times, 2 Chronicles, Judah was up against the Moabites, some other, there's plenty of times in the Bible, y'all. Walls of Jericho, they came crashing. And the walls came tumbling down. The Bible says, stir up the gifts inside of you. Stir it up. How do you do that? One way is to praise him with your voice, to open up your mouth. So for just a moment, I'm going to give you 15, 20, maybe 30 seconds. If your God's been good to you, I want you to give him a good praise. If he's been okay to you, give him an okay praise. That's fine. But I want you to remind yourself with your praise, in a moment that it seemed like darkness was closing in, the boat was getting full. Life seemed like it was coming to an end. You did not see a way out. I want you, on the count of three, to praise him for showing up in your life at that moment. Because I want your faith to be built. knowing that there's other people around you that God has also done some kind of miracle in their life. Because every praise that you hear when you hear this shout, that's something and someone that God's done something for. And it should encourage you as they shout for you to shout. And for us to give praise to God all together and remind ourselves that God is a God who makes a way. God is a God who is more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you and I could ever ask, think, or imagine. So would you give him a praise? 1, 2, 3, praise! We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him till your belly hurts. Come on, praise him till your belly hurts. Come on, let it open up your mouth and let it come from your innermost being.
So how do you accept something? Acceptance comes through surrender. Most of you don't have faith because you haven't fully surrendered to Jesus.
He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine, but you won't say, okay, do it for me then. I'll do my part, God, but I've been trying to do it this way, I'll do it this way. Because I also know that faith without works is dead, so I gotta do my part, but I've been trying to do it over here when you've been calling me over here. I've been trying to do it in a job that I'm not supposed to be in. I've been trying to do it with my family this way, but you've called me to this thing, and I will surrender my will to you because I know if I do, you'll move in my life. You've got to surrender. There is no way to receive the faith that God has for you if you do not surrender to his will. Worry will dissipate the moment that you give him the space to move and operate the way he wants to. Why? Because when you accept Jesus, the fullness of him, demons have to flee. Because if it's in me that Jesus is all I care about, then the moment I face a trial, the moment I face a storm, the moment waves crash in, I will speak the name of faith. Jesus is faith. The reason why he was saying to his disciples, why do you have only a little bit of faith? It's because he was saying, I am faith. It's an armor of God. The shield belongs to him. If you and I will just say, okay, I surrender. I surrender control. I surrendered my pride. Many of you are asking God, why aren't you using me? Because you're too prideful. You think you need to do it this way. I want to use you over here. You're not willing to be clay that I mold into what I want for you to be. You're trying to be like somebody else. I hadn't called you to that. Drop your pride. Surrender it all to me. Surrender your jealousy. Surrender your laziness. Surrender it all. Because if you will,
He will pour out faith into your life. And you will begin to see things happen like it never happened before. If you will truly come to Him and say, I give it up. Here I am, God. Here I am. I sit here at your feet begging you, God. I give it all to you. The moment you do that, you'll start speaking things into existence because you know that you got Jesus inside of your life and you've seen Him work and you've seen Him operate and you're not willing to accept the ways of the world anymore because all you want is to give it all to Him. And when you give it to Him, faith the size of a mustard seed moves a mountain. Jesus is bigger than a mustard seed. God, we come to you this morning. We come to you this morning, God, full of surrender. No longer will we look to our ways, God. We don't want to do things our way anymore. We say, God, have your way in our lives. We want faith that moves mountains. We want faith that will change our lives, that will change the lives of other people, that will shift this entire nation and the world as a result. We are willing to accept that you can do that. And we want you to. So we give it all to you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We accept what you have for us this morning.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you can get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.